Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. So, I have said, and I have defended myself many a time, when people get mad at me about criticizing Rand Carthon, and I've said it is not personal, it is personnel. And then people get so, oh no, Jared, it's personal. They totally leave out the fact that I was all over Mike Vrabel's tush last year. And so I, you know, sometimes I just, I'm like, well, what can I do? Now, so far, I've liked pretty much everything I've heard from Brian Callahan. Except this morning, I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road and Paul Kaharsky, who was back from the owners' meetings, recapped his conversation and takeaways of a conversation with Brian Callahan. And I got to tell you, I'm not very happy about the personnel. Play the cut.
What stood out to you about that conversation with the new Titans head coach?
Well, I talked, his conversation went to the positions where they have not addressed things. I think it's pretty clear that he is expecting that they will draft an inside linebacker to go with Kenneth Murray, which is definitely a necessity. Talked to him about the lack of edge players, and he pumped up Landry and Key, of course, but he did not mention the other guys by name. So I don't think that bodes very well for Rashad Weaver or Caleb Murphy. You know, safety, they've talked to Justin Simmons and had Marcus May in for a visit. He talked maybe about the market downshifting eventually. So I would think those guys could still be in play. And there's not a lot of action going on with them. And he said Dylan Raidens is a guard right now for them. So Jalen Duncan.
I mean, he keeps saying that.
And Nicholas Petit-Frere are the right tackle competitors right now. And the right tackle could be one of those guys. You know, he said there's potential for them to add a veteran option at some point, but didn't make it sound like it's a pressing thing.
Okay, so they're going to draft an inside linebacker, a green dot inside linebacker. They feel good about their edge players with Arden Key and Harold Landry, and no need to upgrade there, I guess. And then it's going to be Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT and JD, Jalen Duncan, battling it out for the right tackle spot. I don't like that one bit. I don't like any of that. So how does that make you feel? Because yesterday, Trevor Maddich was on our program, and I asked him about these things. So let's start with the green dot inside linebacker. Again, the whole point of the green dot is you're the one who is calling the defense. You are the one that is telling the defensive line what to do and telling the secondary what to do. And again, on defense, it's 11 guys working together. So are we going to take a guy right out of college that you draft in maybe the second round or the fourth round with a, you know, sub-100 pick, and you're going to say, all right, man, you're wearing the green dot at inside linebacker. Brian Callahan tells PK the answer to that is yes. Here's what Trevor said yesterday.
Jared, I'd like to see them sign somebody with experience for that very reason, even if that guy isn't the most athletic or the most talented, because defenses have to play together. They have to line up right, and that guy with the green dot is in charge of making sure that that front seven gets lined up right and making sure that whoever the bell cow of the secondary is, make sure that those DBs behind him get lined up right.
Okay, what about the right tackle position? And I am going to have to tell this story here in a second, but Jalen Duncan and Nicholas Petit-Frere, Trevor, do you think those guys can do it?
I do not think that Coach Callahan actually believes that Jalen Duncan can play right tackle in this league. I also think that he probably is a little worried about Nicholas Petit-Frere, although I do believe that he could be coached into a position where he can be an adequate right tackle. That's Petit-Frere.
Oh, no. And when he says, I don't believe that Coach Callahan thinks that Jalen Duncan can play right tackle in this league, that's Trevor saying, Jalen Duncan cannot play right tackle in this league. Just like he told you at the start of 2022 in training camp, he said, Dylan Raidens, it took him one preseason game against the Ravens before Trevor said, right then and there, Raidens can't do this. Well, you know, I remember Joe Rex wrote, oh, well, Trevor's not the end-all, be-all. One game. It took him one preseason game. So I don't know how it makes you feel, but it makes me very, very, very nervous. Because I see this now with this Titan team. It doesn't matter who the GM is. It doesn't matter who the coach is, apparently. But every offseason, a team, and it seems like the Titans are the ones that are doing this, but a team does something that if we had games to play, like we had all these extra games, fine. You want to see if Nicholas Petitfrere, if this were Major League Baseball, and you wanted to see if Nicholas Petitfrere, you went into spring training saying, let's see if he can play right tackle. Well, you're going to get 30 games worth of at-bats in spring training, and then you can probably waste the first 50 games trying to figure out if he can play right tackle or not. And then if so, like, oh, yeah, we'll just trade for a right tackle, or, oh, we'll just, you know, call somebody up from AAA, or, oh, we'll just, this ain't baseball. Like, these decisions get made now. And so I'm going to tell the right tackle story, because years ago, when I first started working here, I did a show on a Friday. George Plaster was out. Willie was, I think, traveling with the Predators during the playoffs. And so I got called up from the mid-morning spot to do the afternoons with the great Floyd Reese. I had known Floyd for a week. I had never worked with him. Sitting there just making small talk. And I said, this was 2015. I said, Floyd, the Titans going to be any good this year? And he looked at me and he said, we don't have a right tackle. And I said, that's pretty important, huh? He said, right tackle? Translation, you can't fudge it at right tackle. If you are really going to go into the season with PT and JD at right tackle, and Trevor's telling you right now, I mean, good luck. You're going to find yourself in the exact same position you found yourself over the last couple of years. This is the same thing that got the other guys fired. And I'm sitting here thinking that Brian Callahan probably doesn't understand, because he didn't live through this like we did, that this idea of, oh, we'll just go get that in the draft, or, oh, we'll just coach him up. See, he didn't live through Aaron Brewer. And when you've got Joe Burrow, you can overcome some of that stuff because you've got Joe Burrow. Well, Will Levis is not Joe Burrow. And so, I think Brian Callahan's probably sitting there looking at JD and PT and this fourth-round Scarbini State linebacker that they're going to stick a green dot on his helmet, and he's like, we'll coach him up. And I'm like, dude, let me tell you the story of Aaron Brewer. Dude, let me tell you the story of right tackle in 2022 for the Titans. Dude, let me tell you how Jack Gibbons ended up starting at linebacker last year. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So, like, great, you spent some money on some players. You don't have a right tackle. And when, again, Brian Callahan, and it sounds like Paul walked away from that conversation, thinking to himself, you know, they're not, like, when he said, yeah, we could draft a tackle or we could add a tackle, talking about the right tackle, it was almost like, oh, yeah, you know, we could do that if we want, but no. We're going to roll with these guys. What? No, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. You cannot do what got the last guys fired, or else guess what's going to happen to you? And so you guys can say, oh, you just get mad at Rand Carthon because you don't like Rand Carthon, Jared. Well, I'm mad at Brian Callahan now, because if Brian Callahan thinks that he can coach up crap bum players and turn them into legitimate NFL starters, I got something that he's going to see in the fall that he's not going to like, and neither are you. Because you cannot take bad players and make them good. You can't do it. This is the NFL. You cannot just assume that you can take a guy who's been bad his entire career and make him good. And when Brian Callahan says, we're going to stick PT and JD at right tackle and see what happens, that is no different to me than John Robinson letting David Quessenberry go in free agency because we're going to let Radins and Petitfrere battle it out at right tackle. What that means is you don't have a right tackle. Are you going to be any good this year? We don't have a right tackle. Translation, I don't care about anything else. You're not going to be good if you don't have a right tackle. That's pretty important, huh? Right tackle? And guess what? I told Brian Callahan that the day he got hired, because you've got to have a right tackle. But nope, he's like all these other guys. He's such a good coach. I'll show you guys. I'm going to take Scarbini after Scarbini, and I'm going to turn him into Joe Burrow. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, my God. And I didn't even get to the part where PK said that he brought up Arden Key when it came to edge rushing. Six sacks. Guess what? Arden Key got most of those in the first game because he went up against that bum from the Saints. I mean, after that, where was Arden Key last year? I mean, we were told, and again, this is another example of the coach thinking, oh, no, 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 I'll show you. Last year, Vrabel, when Andre Dillard was getting beat on every rep in training camp, was like, well, that's Arden Key. I mean, come on now. What do you expect? Like, that's Arden Key. Arden Key is a great player in this league. He had six sacks last year. And that's what I'm banking on? So, I mean, look, I like Brian Callahan when he got hired. I think the resume checked out. And again, you don't get in trouble for something you haven't done yet. But if you think, if you have made it known to Paul that you think you're going to get that green dot inside backer in the draft, that you think you're fine with a defensive front of Simmons, Key, Landry, and Sebastian Joseph, and that you can get by with Nicholas Petit-Frere and Jalen Duncan at right tackle, I mean, you are going to be disappointed. I don't care how much money you spend at running back. 615-737-1025. We'll get your thoughts in on this. Plus, Brian Callahan says they had a plan in free agency. Do we think he's actually telling you the truth, or is this more Mike Vrabel kind of, you know, just bull crapping, and now we're going to have to parse every line of every phrase? We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, hey, did your bracket get busted? Well, we have another chance for you to win with 1025 The Game 16-team bracket challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 16-team bracket to compete and win great prizes, including tickets to see Kings of Leon at Bridgestone Arena on September 26th. The 1025 The Game bracket challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So, one thing that I've realized about myself is that I feel disrespected when somebody tells me something that is so easily disputable, because it makes me feel like that person doesn't value my intelligence at all whatsoever. And it's like, you know, look, man, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not stupid either. And that was, I think, one of the problems with Mike Vrabel, is Mike Vrabel thought that he was smarter than everybody else, and so he treated everybody like, you know, oh, I'll say whatever bullcrap out there, and you should believe it because I played. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mike, but your special teams stink. Why won't you fire the special teams coach? And he was like, I played. And we saw how that got, how far that got him. So Brian Callahan, and again, Brian Callahan's got a clean slate with me. But at the same time, I don't like being bullcrapped. And he was on with, I believe this was Kevin Clark at ESPN at the owners' meetings, and they were talking about the moves the Titans made in free agency, and Brian Callahan says they have a plan.
We put together a really, I think, targeted free agency plan. Obviously, we didn't get everybody we had targeted, but we were very specific on the positions that we were trying to target, where we would allocate the money, obviously the positions of premium that you need in the NFL these days, and we just felt like we wanted to improve the defense as best we could through free agency. And then obviously you had the draft part, so you're kind of working both pieces as you're setting the free agency plan. And I thought we did a really good job of having a plan and having it targeted and then being able to pivot when it was time to pivot.
Okay, we had a plan, and we pivoted when it was time to pivot, but we had a plan, and we focused on the premium positions, and we... Who's playing right tackle? Need I mind you that the first free agent signing the Titans made was an $8 million a year running back? I don't have a hard time with the idea of the Titans saying, hey man, we needed good players. So we went out and we bought good players. I don't have a problem with the fact that Kaharski said this morning that Chad Brinker threw John Robinson under the bus saying, look, our drafts have been bad. I don't have a problem with that. Now I wonder if Chad is man enough when things don't go well with his own drafts to say the same thing, but that's a different discussion for a different day. But I don't have a problem with admitting that the drafts lately with Farley and Radens and Isaiah Wilson and Fulton, like, I don't have a problem saying that those drafts are bad. No problem with that. But again, if you had a plan and you're bragging about your plan, I have a hard time with that. Especially when you already admitted in another interview that Calvin Ridley was only because other plans that you had fell through, so you had all this money and you turned around and you gave it to him. Well, that means that that wasn't the plan. But, and if it is the plan, like if the plan was what got executed for the most part, that means you went into free agency thinking you weren't going to go get a tackle? Not one tackle? Not even a backup tackle? Not even a swing tackle? Not even a Dennis Kelly-like tackle? See, what I think the truth is that I think they probably figured they were going to go get Lloyd Cushenberry, and they were probably going to go get a more dynamic running back, and they did. They were going to spend in the secondary, and they did. But you can't brag about the plan when you walked out of free agency without a green dot inside backer, the Danico Autry consistent, productive defensive lineman, and you still don't have two tackles. You can't brag about the plan. It almost feels like I'm being lied to. We had a great plan. You had a great plan. You just told me you signed Calvin Ridley because the plan didn't work out, and you had the money from the plan not working out to be able to sign Calvin Ridley. So again, a word of advice. I don't mind Brian Callahan being honest and saying, hey, we had some targets and we didn't hit on them, but we feel like X, Y, Z. And then if I disagree with it, I disagree with it. But don't try to pass me on some bull crap like, oh, we have this grand plan and it worked. Your grand plan does not include a tackle. And Jalen Duncan might be starting there. A guy who allowed 9 sacks last year on like 300 snaps. I don't know how I feel about that. Kyle is up next. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. I'm with you that the tackle situation is serious. Of course, I would love to get Joe Alt at 7. But what would you think about getting a right tackle like Patrick Paul? Or I know TD's been pretty high on Blake Fisher, the other tackle at Notre Dame. I wouldn't have any problems going bang, bang, just tackle, tackle, got protection, there you go. What do you think about tackle, tackle?
So, I mean, it would make me nervous to have two rookie tackles. I don't think it's the end of the world if you do that, and I appreciate your call, Kyle. The thing is again, that's fine, but you only have 2 picks in the top 100. So if you go tackle, tackle, not only do they both have to start right away, but now, as far as all the other potential, you know, the Danico Autry replacement, you're not getting that. So now Danico's 11.5 sacks have walked out of the building, and you haven't replaced it. And you're green dot inside backer. Like, I understand that guys like Puka Nacua exist, that get drafted, and they're better than everybody thinks, and they're good players right away. I get it. But that's the exception, not the rule. The rule is you can draft a guy in the first, second, maybe third round, depending upon the position. And you can expect them to be a contributor. You can't take a guy in the 6th round and say, that's going to be our starting guard. You can't do that. That's what bad teams do. And, I mean, again, like if you go tackle, tackle, now who's your inside backer? Who's your replacement for Danico? And I'm not complaining about safety because I think they'll sign one, but they need a safety too. 615-737-1025. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Okay, I've got a question for you. I know you've been in job interview mode here for the last few months.
Yeah.
I want the unfiltered truth from you.
All okay? Right. I can give that to you.
Nothing crazy, but I don't get to talk to a lot of guys that might be drafted in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like, I followed the draft my whole life as a kid. You look who's going where.
Yeah.
There's a whole industry around following the draft. You're one of the names that gets thrown around in the top 10. Are you going on sites in the morning and seeing where is Joe Alt going to go? Who's a good? Who should take Joe Alt? Like, are you tracking it or are you staying away from it?
My mom definitely is. My okay. Mom is telling me something new every day on that. She's following my name on Twitter. I'm like, Mom, I can't tell you anything. Like, there could be a trade 2 minutes before I get drafted. There could be a trade today. Like, I can't tell you where I'm going. So, like, I feel like if you really kind of invest in that stuff, you can get distracted. So I've really stayed away from it. Like, when the time comes and I get picked, that's where I know I'm going. But from here till now, I just got to continue to work, and whatever happens, happens.
But Mom has you covered.
Oh, Mom's got me covered. Yeah. She's reading Twitter. She's getting mad at people sending articles. I'm like, Mom, you know that's just a random person in his basement, right?
There you go, Joe Alt. How do you not love that guy? One texter says, I feel like you're swapping the we need a left tackle with we need a right tackle, Jared, now that it seems like Joe Alt is a lock to the Titans. Well, I'm not complaining about left tackle because I think the Titans are going to draft a left tackle. But guess what? Ian, has the right tackle story ever been the left tackle story?
No, I don't think so.
It's been the right tackle story from day one. And I think, like, everybody knows you have to have a left tackle. I think everybody knows you have to have a quarterback, you have to have a left tackle, you have to have a defense, you have to have a coach, you know, those things. Right? Like, if again, the story is I asked Florida, the Titans going to be any good, so we don't have a right tackle. If you said to somebody, are the Seahawks going to be any good this year? We don't have a quarterback. Probably not going to be very good. You know that. The point is that the old man thinks that right tackle is so important that unlike other positions, like, again, the second safety spot to Monty Hooker. Now, I'm nervous about Hooker because he gets hurt and probably makes a little bit too much money as far as the market is concerned. But I do feel like, you know, safety, fine, whatever, you can fudge it. Running back, you can kind of fudge it. You can take a guy in the fourth round and he can play running back. Like, it won't be the end of the world. But you can't fudge it at right tackle. And so when you're sitting here saying things like, you know, oh, you're just trying to be mad because of that. No, I'm mad because I told Brian Callahan when he got hired, like, dude, you need a right tackle. And instead, Brian Callahan is, again, intimating to Paul Kaharski that it is going to be Nicholas Petit-Frere or Jalen Duncan. One texter says, what happened to waiting until somebody does something before you get mad at them? He said it. He told Paul, again, I don't want to misquote anybody. I don't want to misquote Paul here. But it sounds like the conversation Paul had with Brian Callahan makes Paul think that the Titans do not view upgrading at right tackle as a priority. That happened. He said it. And I am mad about that idea. So if the Titans change course and they trade for a right tackle tomorrow, I will be elated. But the getting mad about something that's already happened, that's what's happened. The idea of these guys are going to do exactly what the last guys did that got them fired. Like, this is what got the last guys fired. Roger Saffold was making too much money, so you cut him. Fine. He was injury prone, he was older, and again, he was making $12 million. Fine, cut him. But you can't put a 270-pounder out there. And I heard all the excuses last year. I heard Aaron Brewer, he'll be good at center. He couldn't even snap the ball because he was so little. So when you're trying to, oh no, PT, he'll be fine. He was just terrible last year and the year before that, but he didn't play much because of the gambling suspension. So the gambling suspension, by the way, is not a good thing. Like, it's not like, oh, well, he was terrible last year, but it's okay because he got suspended for gambling. No, that means that he's not that good and he doesn't know the rules. That's a little bit of a problem. Dylan says, do you tell the right tackle story on your national shows too? I don't know if I do, but there are a lot of Floyd Reese things that I talk about. Whenever I try to tell a Floyd story on national radio, I preface it with the fact that he used to be a general manager and then was, you know, the number two in New England for a while. Because, you know, he was. Lenny says, enough with the right tackle story, Jared. Get me a better right tackle than PT and Jalen Duncan and you won't have to hear the right tackle story. The right tackle story is not my fault, it's your fault. And not you, the fans, but it's your fault, the Titans. Because 2022, you tried to fudge it without a right tackle. And 2023, do you remember, Ian, who the starting right tackle was on the first day of training camp last year?
No.
Jamarco Jones.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that probably. It would have taken me a hot minute. I mean, I remember they went and got Hubbard, but
we don't have a right tackle. Like, I'm just going to keep saying, you're like, oh, no, yeah, you're this, oh, yeah. One texter says, right tackle is the one spot on the line where you can have a guy that isn't that good. Any football coach with a brain will tell you that. I'm sorry, babe, but that man coached for 20 years and he didn't feel that way. And I don't know how many football coaches you on the text line's talking to. Here, I'm going to text a former NFL coach right now. And I'm going to say, how important a former NFL head coach, offensive side of the ball. And I'm going to say, is right tackle important? And, Ian, what do you think they're going to say back? I have sent the text with two question marks. Is right tackle important? Question mark, question mark. What do you think they're going to say?
Yes.
I would agree. Skyler says, Jared, you're just a crybaby because Rand doesn't talk to you. You would love him if he told you everything like Barry Trotz. Jared, you're a Rand hater for life no matter what. Ian, how many times have I talked about Rand this hour?
A few.
How many times have you talked about Brian Callahan?
A few.
You know why? Because he said it. Because Brian Callahan's the one who said it. Now, if Rand got up there and said that Nicholas Petitfrere is going to be right tackle, I'd be going crazy about him. Because, again, it's not personal. It's personnel. And sometimes people just want to hear what makes them feel good. There is a difference between affirmation and information. And as a society there, we are really fractured. You know, there's so many options now as far as what news you consume, what you hear, what you listen to. And I think we are fractured as a society between the people that want affirmation and the people who want information. So if you want affirmation, I can tell you, Bill Callahan will take these two crap bums and he will turn them into all pros the way Rich Gannon said he did with Barry Sims on the Oakland Raiders in 2002. Oh, way to go. We don't do that. And we're never going to do that. But a lot of people, they want to hear it. They want to hear it all the day. They just want to hear good, 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 good. My team's good. That's all they want to hear. And with me, I think you have to earn it. Like, I think you have to earn those things. And when you sit there, you look at me, you tell Nicholas Petit, you're going to tell me Nicholas Petitfrere is going to be the right tackle of this team? I'm sorry. Joey says, I share your concerns about the line. It happened too many times. As soon as one of the quarterbacks snapped the ball, the defense had already penetrated the line and destroyed Levis or Tannehill before they were able to get set. Ridley and Hopkins are awesome, but if you don't have time to throw the ball, it won't matter. Agreed. And the one thing I do think that we have to keep in mind, and I think Brian Callahan does know this, because in that same Kevin Clark's now with ESPN, in that same ESPN interview Brian Callahan did, he was asked about Joe Burrow and, you know, Levis. And he was like, yo, Joe Burrow is, you know, pretty good. Like, Joe Burrow is, well, let's not. And I do think that the Bengals had a lot of holes that even though, they spent money on the offensive line and they did improve the offensive line and things. But Joe Burrow makes a lot of guys better because he's Joe Burrow. And you don't have that. And it would be arrogant to walk into the job to think that you can coach things the way that you coached them when you had Joe Burrow, and he's not going to do that. At least I think he's not going to do that. One texter says, Jared, these people are getting confused with the NFL and Pop Warner when it comes to right tackle. Do we have, offensive line positions in Pop Warner? Do we have, a right guard?
I'm sure.
Line them up in five and just say go.
I guess so.
I don't know what the qualifications for a right tackle are. One texter says, you told Brian Callahan what to do and he isn't listening, ? Pretty sure we still have time to fill more spots. You cannot expect him to fill every hole in one part of an offseason. So actually, Jim Harbaugh was asked about that at the owners' meetings, and he was kind of asked do you think that it's possible to fill every hole? And Jim Harbaugh said, that's why we're here. Like, that's why we have the offseason. And I heard that. I thought about cutting that and being like, okay, this is for everybody out there that says, can't fill every hole. You telling me they couldn't have filled the inside linebacker with the green dot on the back of the helmet? Or are you telling me that they chose not to? Because they did bring in Jerome Baker for a visit, and they didn't sign him. More of your phones at 615-737-1025. Plus, speaking of Harbaugh, Harbaugh did say something yesterday that I'm going to just I'm not going to pretend he didn't say it, but I am going to assume that he didn't mean it, and I kind of hope that he didn't mean it. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Despite having a daughter who's a Wolverine, I do love Marvin Harrison. But what I love even more is my nephew, Justin Herbert, being healthy. And that's what job one's going to be for Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. The offensive line, Mel, it's about keeping Justin Herbert healthy. If this is year two, I completely agree with you.
Okay, that was Mike Tannenbaum, his mock draft yesterday. Even though the Chargers don't have any receivers, his mock draft yesterday at 5 has the Chargers taking Joe Alt. Now, I had the same reaction Ian had right there in that cut. Is Justin Herbert actually Mike Tannenbaum's nephew? Or is that like when I say Mark Jankowski is my guy? Like, I don't, you know.
It has to be a joke.
It has to be, right? Whatever. So, Tannenbaum saying, hey, we're keeping him healthy. That's important. So, Jim Harbaugh was at the owners' meetings. He was asked about the importance of the offensive line. Remember, again, they have no receivers, and they do have a left tackle. And I'm scared to death they're going to draft Joe Alt. Here's what Jim Harbaugh had to say.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good. You know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. We don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive and, you know, the field position? Yeah, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. You know, it's like, so, yeah, that building that kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it because it worries me that he's going to take Joe Alt.
Smokescreen.
So that's the thing, is this time of the year, there is one thing, and, like, I know that I always say to people when it comes to asking questions in press conferences and things like that, you have to ask the question. And the reason why is because, you know, a man's going to answer it however he wants to answer it. But you have to ask it and then judge based upon the response whether or not they're telling you the truth. But this time of the year, I mean, I'll hear things that are reported and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't think that's true. And then people get mad. And they'll say, well, but he said, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't. Maybe. I guess, again, as I lectured everybody on the difference between information and affirmation earlier, I guess maybe this is the Jared Stillman affirmation comfort coming out here. But I'm going to assume that Harbaugh's still going wide receiver. Just, they don't have any receivers. So I'm just going to assume that Harbaugh's going wide receiver and that, to Ian's point, that was a smokescreen, or, you know, Harbaugh is just laying the groundwork of, yeah, we want to have a good offensive line, but that doesn't mean we're taking an offensive lineman with the 5th pick when we could, you know, take Marvin Harrison Jr. Chad is up next here on our program. Thank you for waiting, Chad. Go ahead.
Well, it's well regarded that the most important positions in the NFL in order: quarterback number one all day long, left tackle number two to protect your quarterback, and then rush defensive line. That's been around, rush defensive end. That's been around for 100 years. So then you fast forward to the draft, you're going to see 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm convinced of that now that I see J.J. McCarthy at number 2 in just about every mock that I'm seeing. And then now you're at, what did we just talk about? What's the most important position in the game? 4 quarterbacks and then a left tackle. You may see 4 quarterbacks and Joe Alt go left. And then you've got 9 first-round grades on wide receivers. So why you take one right there, I don't know. Your thoughts?
My thought on that is that Marvin Harrison Jr., if he's available, if it goes quarterback, 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 the Chargers are sitting there on the clock with a franchise quarterback and Marvin Harrison Jr. available. I mean, they already have a left tackle. So, okay. So if the most important positions are quarterback, the Chargers have a quarterback. Left tackle, the Chargers, Rashawn Slater, Pro Bowl left tackle, have it. Rush defensive line between Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, though those guys are almost never healthy together, I'd say they have it. What are they missing? And when it comes to what are the most valuable positions in the NFL, I believe that the most valuable positions are the positions that get paid the most. And right now, it's quarterback number one, and then it's kind of a tie between pass rusher, receiver, and left tackle, right? Laremy Tunsil, Tyreek Hill, and I think Nick Bosa all crack into the $30 million range. So you're never going to see a running back going at $30 million. You don't see corners at $30 million. You don't see inside backers at $30 million or safeties at $30 million or interior offensive line at $30 million. You see left tackle, pass rusher, quarterback, wide receiver in the $30 million range. And that's why, again, if you, again, and not that the mock drafts are right, because there are always going to be, you know, every draft there's going to be a moment. And you all know that. That's why we watch the draft. That's why we love the draft. But if you look at all these mock drafts right now, everything in the top 10, quarterbacks, receivers, Neighbors, Adunze, and Harrison. So now you're at 7. Alt is 8. Dallas Turner, a pass rusher, is 9. And I'm trying to think if there's kind of anything else that floats in there inside the top 10. You know, it's a Jets with a tackle, maybe a Fashanu or a Brock Bowers or something like that. I mean, so we know what the most valuable positions are. That doesn't mean that right tackle is not important. But again, I'm not complaining about left tackle because I think the Titans are going to draft their left tackle, and I think it's going to be Joe Alt. Wes in Clarksville says, so if Alt is gone, what's plan B? Have no tackle and get a receiver? See, now that's the hard part, is there is a debate between Marvin Harrison and Neighbors. And I prefer Neighbors to Marvin Harrison. That's just me. Some people will call me crazy. This opinion is starting to pick up steam supposedly around the league, which makes me think that it's probably wrong. And so I'm probably wrong. But again, you know, Neighbors, I look at it like this. Like, I think in this draft, there are probably Caleb Williams, Dallas Turner, Joe Alt, Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know if I think these other three quarterbacks are elite. You know, I haven't studied them enough. I'm going to say there's like 5 true elite players. I'm like, that's an elite player. Williams, Harrison, Neighbors, Alt, Dallas Turner. And if you want to throw Brock Bowers in there, I can listen to that. Like, that, if you're on the clock and you've got an elite player there that you can take, I almost think you have to take the elite player, because 3 years from now, nobody will know, well, you needed to tackle. And there's a real fine line there of, well, do you draft for what you need, or do you draft for the best players and then build your team around the best players? Free agency would tell you that the Titans have decided we're just going to get the best players. And I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with, at the end of the day, you do have to have a right tackle. And the two guys they have there, right there, that's not a right tackle. I'm letting you fudge it at guard. If there's a battle between Radens and Brunskill for right guard, I'm letting you fudge that. I'm letting you fudge it at safety. And I can be convinced to fudge it at inside backer, you know, when it comes to the guy that wears the green dot, though I do think the green dot is important. You know, I think that Aziz last year was kind of fudging it. Like, I think Aziz is fine. That's what I'm talking about. Like, Jack Gibbons on the... That makes me a little nervous. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So last night's win for the Predators was a special kind of win. It is the kind of win that every team wishes they could get, and that very few teams actually do. And I'll explain what I mean, and we'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.